are still studying what Jesus said to get everybody all angry at him. So we're in Matthew 24, and we read through 28, now we're going to start in 29. This is still signs of the end. Matthew 24:29. Are you there, Mr. Buckner?
I am there.
You're there. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So that's... Well, let's read a little bit longer. The next is another thing about the fig tree. And then we'll kind of try to make sense of it. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that hour, of that day and hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood they were eating, in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up or into. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, one of the main signs that is to be noticed is in earlier in this chapter, and it's just a fascinating verse. In verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. When you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Now, what is that abomination that he spoke of? Let's go to Daniel 9.
Daniel what?
9. Let's just read it. Let's start in verse 20. The first part of Daniel 9 is Daniel in supplication for the people of Israel, for the people of God. And he was in great agony over it. In verse 20, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for his holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, who I had seen in the vision at the beginning, caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. We've talked about this many times. It's when he was in supplication. And the difference of that is the difference between night and day. Supplication means you have totally lost self-interest. You've gone from the young man state to the father position. Your only concern is for the welfare of others. What happens to you is unimportant. And that's spoken of in Moses and Hebrews and 1 John. It's all over the place. You are an intercessor at that point. Your only job is for others' benefit. The I motive is gone. So at the beginning of this supplication, he came to show him something. He said he was greatly beloved. That's pretty neat. What did he see? Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And again, just read these next few verses. I mean, two sentences, a few words. Number one, to finish the transgression. Number two, to make an end of sin. Number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision and the prophecy. And to anoint the most holy. Talked about this till we're probably tired of talking about it, but the 70 weeks ended at the cross of Christ. It's talked first when he caused the oblation to cease in the midst of the seven years, exactly 3.5 years before he was crucified, that mystical 42 months. Well, it's gone. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. What's happening is Herod is building the temple, and when the wall is finished, it was the beginning of the 7 years. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and their end shall there be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. We're not going to go through my little chart, but it's available to anyone who wants to see it. But in verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of an abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out, shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, that's the abomination in verse 27. And what is that abomination? The abomination of desolation. And what does it mean when you see it stand? I think that the abomination of desolation, when you finally see it, that you are the instead of Christ. You are the Antichrist. That's when you see, that's when you know that the end is near. Because for centuries, everybody's identified this Antichrist as somebody else. It was Caesar, it was this, it was Hitler, it was that.
Matthew was confused because the next verse he says, then let them which be in Judea flee under the
Well, again, that's what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
No, that's one of the things. He just mixed everything up. But in Luke, it's very, very clear. It separates the destruction of Jerusalem from the destruction of the world.
So he stands up, and that's symbolic. He stands up.
No, when you see the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place. You never leave that mystery because you are the holy place. When that's the name of you is the temple, the Naos. The Hieron is the name of the temple and complex, but it's been destroyed. So now you, when you see it, you stand in the holy place. You don't leave the holy place in you for any reason.
So
you stay on the mercy seat. No, it means you don't leave the holy place.
Okay. Maintain,
stay, abide. Yeah. All the words that we've studied that all mean the same thing. Yeah. Let's look at, therefore, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. It's you. It's the evil one sitting on the in the governing seat in the temple of God.
That's abomination.
Let's go to 2 Thessalonians.
What's the desolation?
I
don't get the desolation.
It means there's nothing left. It's finished.
It means he's causing this desolation to come upon.
Yeah.
Jerusalem and all that kind of stuff. So it causes it makes you be in the path of the wrath. You don't want to be there.
All right, go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. We're again waiting for Mr. Buck. Got it?
I got it.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That seems to contradict a whole lot of stuff that Paul has said elsewhere. But let's look at it. Let no man deceive you by any means, For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away, apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Isn't that what you do? You show yourself your God by you judging what's good and bad, right and wrong? So the day can't come until that man is identified. The man of sin, the son of perdition. Well, he's been identified. Just in my lifetime, since I've been a believer, when I saw that I was the Antichrist, and so was every other man. That was what I saw, and I didn't know what it was. But I promise you, I didn't say anything to anybody for a long time, for 2 or 3 years. And then I said it the first time, and it was just total chaos. It was just, that's ridiculous, holy. Then I started saying it a couple years later. Then I started teaching it. And I promise you now, I can go to a... When I first met Sandra, she knew instantly that she was the Antichrist. After a major experience, the other, Mr. Nick, knew it. I mean, that's amazing. Again, I think that everything had to wait until that scripture is fulfilled. Until you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place. Stay on the mercy seat. Don't leave it for anything. Remember, when the temple came down, the temple is our surrounding reality. If we could see what God sees, we are on that mercy seat now, here. That's where the real you is. But the false you is constantly getting off for 1,000,000,000 reasons. And they're all you've got justification for it. So this is the real meaning of repentance and abandonment and everything else. That you leave you behind, you leave everything behind, and you sit and abide and stand or stay only in the holy place, under the wings of the cherub. We could, go on and on and on, but this is the biggest thing that remember when the seven, just before. Let's go to Revelation 10. Let's just tie it all together. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from seven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now, I believe the thing that the seven thunders uttered was the identification of the Antichrist. That's not from God, that's just what I believe. And that's why this stand, and when you see the abomination stand. And until you know and see and understand that you are the abomination of desolation, until you see that and know it, you will always use your mind for whatever is set before you. And if you're an idiot, you will say that God has sanctified your thoughts. This is why, I mean, that singular issue is why I believe, still believe strongly, that the end will come in my lifetime. And we'll rock. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Or should another prevent means shall not go before. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now we will rise up to meet him. And then we're not coming back to do all kinds of stuff. And that's already been done. We arise to meet him in the air as we see all of time and space destroyed. That sounds really crazy, but I believe it with everything in me. This whole thing that we read in Matthew, well, there's a lot more we're going to read in Matthew, but let's go back there a minute. Matthew 18, or 20 through 4, I mean. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered this house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as we think not the Son of Man cometh. Now, the Son of Man coming is described elsewhere as a thief in the night. And he's using that metaphor to describe, and it's only those that are aware, that watch and wait for that singular issue. We'll see. Always maintaining and ensuring that your garment isn't spotted by the flesh. Always seeing, standing in the holy abiding under the wings of the cherubim. And from that place, you will always speak as the oracle of God. Your speech will always be seasoned with salt. You'll stop eating dust for your sustenance. Stop giving breath to anything in time and space. Giving breath means considering it important. Any response to any of this?
I was thinking about Ezekiel 8 where he has the image of jealousy.
Same kind of thing.
It's like all around, really.
And then finally, you see the dry bones of becoming the mystery, the bride. What are you doing, Gary?
I'm just thinking this is the top down spot. This is the place of seeing.
Right. That's the only place. It's from that place. The things that the Bible says you should do are the fruit of that place. It's not a matter of you trying to do something or you're trying to, you know, ad nauseum. You automatically love the brethren. You don't try to love the brethren. There may be a couple exceptions. No, I'm just kidding.
He was just kidding.
Anything else, Mr. Rutledge? And your Antichrist machine?
My Antichrist machine.
I'm still wondering about the standing instead of sitting. It's a place where you should be sitting and resting, not standing and waiting.
I wouldn't be very concerned about that word. I'll look it up, but I think it just means standing.
Yeah, maybe hold your place.
Stay fast, yeah.
The standing word.
It's just a translator's words. It's not that important.
What else is there between rest and something else?
Well, again, there's nothing. There's no contradiction between standing and resting.
Would you stand and rest at the same time?
Sure.
What's like standing and you stand and then gird your...
It means you don't leave that place. It's fundamentally what the word means. It's not concerned with the body position. It's concerned that that's your only abiding place. You stand. You're faithful in that place. No, nothing can take you from it. I'll wager you a bunch of money that that's what that word will be translated as when I finally look it up.
Let me know.
I will. Mr. Raleigh's is probably looking it up right now as we speak.
Yeah, I am. Except I forgot where we were looking.
All right. Take it, big guy.
My electronic Antichrist machine.
It'll give you the wrong answer.
All right. I've got 23 seconds in my rollover minute.